Mr. Dale, while you're young, can you please pray?
Father, I do thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, that we don't deserve what you give to us. And I'm not talking about just the money that was raised here. I'm talking about being able to sit in this church today and hear the word of God preach. I pray to be with the man of God and give him the words to speak, helping to speak it clearly to our hearts, Lord, that we may understand and leave here differently than when we came in here, Lord. Bless the people at Black Creek. Bless the people that are out there serving you today. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Obviously, this is the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. We'll start at verse 1 and read down through. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Verse 6, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Obviously, most of us have heard these. Obviously, if you've grown up in church, you've heard these. We have a plaque on the wall that shows these. But how often do we honestly think about if we're following them, if we're judging our Christian walk according to what the Bible says? So I want to start in verse 4. We're going to work backwards a little bit. But thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. My question would be, what have you set up? What is that you have as an image? What have you put above God? Now, we're all sitting in church, so it's pretty easy to just say, nothing. I am A-okay on these. Really? I'm not perfect by any means, and there's other things that I'll sit there and I'll look at, and I've made an image that it's not, I don't have, I'm putting it above God. So the question is, again, what have you set up? Let's be real about it. Is there something in your life that you have that's above God? If I'm sure there's a few that have this down, it's not an issue, that there's nothing that pops up that's an idol to them. But living in the world today, there's a lot of things out there that can pop up. There's a lot of things that become an idol very quickly. There's something, and you might not be thinking about it. You just live in your life, you're going along, and it can just be something simple, but you're not realizing it's an idol. It's something that you're putting above God.
Yes, sir.
Brother McVeigh, he did a message here not long ago, and he talked about the accursed thing. Now, Brother McVeigh, if you get to know him and you're well, you can call him Brother Tim. I still have to call him Brother McVeigh. He won't let me call him Brother Tim. But it was a very good message, and it was talked about, what's that accursed thing that you can't take your eyes off of? What's that accursed thing that continues to pull you away from God, that thing that separates you between God? And that kind of comes into this thing. This is what I'm kind of shadowing from. What's that thing that's an idol in your life that you just can't seem to let go of, that God can't get your full control of? So let's go to Deuteronomy 4:15. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously in your New Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we're going to look at... It's in the Bible once. It's pretty important. If it's in the Bible more than one time, God's trying to tell us something. He's trying to teach us something. Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on that day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, that the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. There are honestly people out there that worship the stars, the moon, the earth, the fish, the creepy things, and don't worship God. They don't understand who God is. They've never heard of God. Part of that reason is generations have not been teaching their children, have not had their children in church. I was one of the fortunate ones that was raised in church. I've heard these things. I know these things. I know who to give credit to. But we are in a couple of generations now of people that don't know who God is, have no clue. And I'm not pointing out any parents. I'm not pointing out any grandparents. But it's to our shame that we've let that slide go. That, well, we missed church once this month, that's okay. Well, it's going to keep snowballing until you're not in church and you're not teaching your generations about God.
That's right.
Parents and grandparents have dropped the ball, great-grandparents, whatever it may be. Don't be one of those people. Keep your kids in church. Keep them in church functions. Teach them about the God that gave us the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
Without that, you're not going to realize there's a God. You're just going to believe whatever comes along, whatever's the easiest thing. The guy hit on it yesterday perfectly. We worship sports stars. A guy can throw a ball through a hoop. He gets $30 million. He's God to our kids. That shouldn't be.
That's right. Yes, sir.
It's hard for kids to worship their parents or look at them as heroes until you're later in life. But you should be looking at somebody that's living for the Lord, somebody that's following the Lord. That should be your hero. That should be somebody that you want to model, somebody that you want to become. We need to teach the Ten Commandments again. We need to be teaching them.
That's right.
The question is, what idols do we serve? Again, to get back to it, what idols do you have in your life that's something that you just can't break? And I got a list of a few. Is your idol your family?
Oh, yes.
A lot of people today, their family is more important than anything else.
Yes.
Well, God gave you that family. Why are you not worshiping God and you're worshiping your family? We have the worldly things, your job, TV, electronics, hobbies, sports, religious works.
Yes.
Oh, I'm the janitor of the church. No, that doesn't make you any better than anybody else.
That's
you
right.
need to know the God that gave you the right to be in that church. Another one is your time. Is your time an idol before God? Are you serving, running yourself ragged to please other people or please yourself, but you're not giving God enough of your time?
Yes.
Time can be a huge one, and it affects us all. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to do it now, but in your week, just start looking at things in your life, your routines, things that you've made a habit, and see if you're putting those before God, if they have a place above God.
Yes, sir.
God is not going to try to be over, he's not going to be trying to outdo your idols. If you're hearing those idols, God's not going to say, hey, what about me? He's going to turn you over to those idols until you figure it out. That still small voice comes and you hear it. Hey, what about me? I'm still here. What have you been doing with me? So the question I'm going to get is, but Mr. Neal, I don't bow down to them. Whatever that may be, I don't bow down. Okay, I hope you're right. I want to go to verse 23 while you're right there in that chapter. We'll talk about it just a little bit more. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. Obviously, this is Old Testament times. But if you're a Christian, he made a covenant with you. You made a covenant with him when you repented and you asked for forgiveness. He accepts you in. There's a covenant made. He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. How many times do we say the word God, and we don't, it's just God. It's a guy. It's up in heaven. He had Jesus. He was. Do you have the right idea who God is? And if you don't, these Ten Commandments aren't going to mean anything to you, because you just think it's a word. It's just a function. I see these billboards all the time that it's a cross plus heart equals love. Or religious, they're ministerium billboards, whatever, but it's God's just love. No, God's a God to be feared. Verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. We tend to overlook that a lot of times. We want to quote scriptures that what God loves us, God cares for us, but he's a jealous God. There's a reason the first two commandments are love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Don't have any idols before me, because he wants that connection with us. He wants nothing in between. He wants your full undivided attention, not just what you're willing to give it. I fall into that one a lot of times. Get to the end of the day, I didn't do my devotions. Well, is a half an hour enough time for God? Probably not. I probably should have gave him a lot more than that.
Yes, sir.
While we're talking about what God thinks about it, go to Leviticus. We'll go to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 26, and we will start right in verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to unto it. For I am the Lord, I am the Lord your God. Now I look at that one word right there, your. That, to me, signifies salvation, signifies I'm your personal God. You and I have a communication here. Verse 2, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. He's kind of reminding us, this is who's talking to you. This isn't the fuzzy guy. This is God, the one you should respect, honor, and love. Verse 3, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season and land, and the land shall yield your increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land. The point that in verse 3 and verse 4 is it's a two-way deal. Verse 3, if ye walk in my statutes, verse 4, then I'll give you. A lot of people think that it's, and I'm going to probably upset some people by saying this, but a lot of people think God's just their sugar daddy in the sky.
That's right.
And if I do this, this is what I've learned in church. If I do these things, then God will reward me.
Yeah.
That's there, but also the part of loving him with all your heart's there.
That's right.
And again, if you have something that's before God, you've lost that priority chain. And I heard this a long time in church. It should be God, then your mate, then your children, then whatever God's called you to. And that's even for pastors. A lot of times when we call up and pastor doesn't answer our call right away, we're upset. Well, he's got a chain of command too, okay? You fall down their ways. We fail to understand that sometimes. He loves you. He's going to do what he can do for you. But he sometimes can't answer your question because he's got other stuff going on. But again, a lot of times we just think God's up there for us. We know all about him. We do the 10 things that we need to do. And he's just going to pour out blessings. Well, this verse kind of says that. But again, verse 3 was first. If you keep his commandments and you do them, then God will bless you. Verse 6, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Now you're saying, well, this is Old Testament times again. There's not people coming through with swords and this and that. I look at that as salvation right there in that verse. That verse 6, if you're doing verse 3 and he's pouring out blessings to you, he's coming through and he's taking care of the beasts that are in your field. He's taking care of the sword. It's not going to go through your land. Even if it does come through your land and you get taken out, you have eternity with God if you know him. You're not going to be worried about that sword coming through your land because you have salvation. You need to focus where you need to be with God and have the priorities right with God before he can give you the true blessings of salvation. There's two parts again in that verse 3 and verse 4. All God's blessings. He doesn't say that he's going to give you everything you want. He's going to give you what's going to take, what he needs you to have. And that's a hard pill to take because we want to say, well, I want the Corvette, God. I'm doing the things that I'm doing. Why don't I have the Corvette in my garage? God said, I'm going to take care of you, but you're going to want my desires. You're going to have my, those can be some of those images that you have before God. If you're not accepting of driving the Chevette versus the Corvette, God's not going to give you the Corvette. Okay. And if you younger people don't know what a Chevette was, it's a really garbage car, yeah. Chevy made. Yeah. But if you're thinking that everything you're going to get is top of the line, God's just going to give you everything you thought you were going to need, it's not going to happen. He wants you to follow him, follow his desires. Someday you might drive a Corvette. That might be what you get, but you need to settle for the Chevette, knowing that God is in control of your life. You'll be fine driving a Chevette. Or an HHR in my case. We're going to go back to Exodus 20. Back to those Ten Commandments. We're going to go up to verse 3 this time. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now again, these two kind of go hand in hand because if you have no other gods before you, then you're doing really good and you're not going to have a problem with those idols. But if you have those idols in your life, if there's something that's there pulling you away, you don't have God before you, okay? You've told God he doesn't have priority. Whatever it is has priority over you. How is God going to richly bless you when he's not stupid? I told my kids this, my parents told me this before, it doesn't matter, whatever you try to do and you think nobody sees you do it, God's watching. God's seen it all. Well, I told my kids in Sunday school class, Moses, he was about ready to smite the Egyptian. He looked left, he looked right, and then he smote the Egyptian. And I told them, you need to look right, you need to look right, left, and up, because God's always watching. It doesn't matter what you think you're going to get away with. God sees it all. So if you think you can fool God, good luck with that one, because it's not going to happen. Back to this again, what has a higher place than God in your life? If you aren't willing to let it go, God can make you let it go.
Yes, he can.
We don't want to hear that stuff. No. But if there's something that God's been saying, you need to get rid of that, you need to stop this, you got that above me, it's not a big deal, God. It's not a big deal. God will make you get rid of it. You're not going to like how you get rid of it, but God will make it go. Question, what's your view of God? Again, we think of him just a big fuzzy name. It's just become a... My main complaint with the guy that did the demonstration at the museum yesterday was,
yes.
OMG, OMG, OMG. That's all I could say, OMG. That's his view of God. It's a word. Just throwing a word out there. God is much bigger than just a word. He is the reason we're here, and we need to have the right viewpoint of who God is. So just, you're right there in Exodus, go to 15, chapter 15, real quick, just one verse. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Do you ever just sit there and think about who God is and how wonderful and how powerful he is? And that's just one random verse in this Bible that tells you just a little bit of God. Another one's Revelation 4:8. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. Revelation 4, I'm actually going to read a few verses. I'll probably start in verse 3. Revelation 4, verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Again, I have a weird mind, but when you start reading down through this stuff, try to picture some of this stuff that's in heaven, okay? Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the four beasts were like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face of a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of the eyes within, and the rest, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, excuse me, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you look at God that way? Do you look at beings in heaven saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty? Do we picture him that way? Or do we just picture him as a big fuzzy word? Especially in society today, God is not revered. God's name is not something to be worshipped. Unless you're in a Black Creek Baptist church, where it's preached about, where it's supposed to be, we need to be reminded, it's not a fuzzy word. It's
Amen.
It's the, what we're here for. It's what created us. Again, is he just a sugar daddy in the sky, or is he your holy, holy, holy? Again, when you're looking at your daily life, just kind of taking an examination of it and just look at, well, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. Where's God falling in? Where is your allegiance to God? Where is he in that chain of events? Is he just halfway down? Oh, yep, I forgot, I've got to throw devotions in there. Or is he your holy, 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 where that's all you can think about? Again, God doesn't want us just walking around going, holy, 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 holy. Because people are going to look at us and we're going to lose our jobs and we got to do different things. But there's a time when we need to reverence God for who he is and give him the credit that he deserves.
Thank you, Lord. Yep.
A lot of times we say, but I can't touch God. You know, it's hard to love something. I can love my family because I can touch them. They got skin, it's easy for me to get that connection and have them first and foremost in priority. If you're a Christian, we will get to touch him. We'll get to be in eternity, not just 60 years, 70 years, 80 years on this life. We're going to get to spend eternity with him if you know him as your Savior. Mm-hmm. I told you about the cross equals love and different things. And I had one come through my mind last night as I was putting this together. And I had cross plus the Bible equals love. If you don't know the God that sent his son to die on that cross, you're not going to understand the total amount of love he had for you. You need to have it where it needs to be in your life, God needs to be the priority of your life. Working back up again in Exodus 20, we started at 4, and there was a promise, or verse 5 kind of blew by. If you do verse 4, if you don't have any idols, verse 5 tells you, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We talked about that again. And he's not going to easily forget that you didn't love him, okay? Verse 4 we did, verse 3 we did. Touch on verse 2 again. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Pastor asked us what's talking about Zane being tied up, being bound earlier in the message. again, as he was preaching his message, I was like, oh boy, this is going to go against what he's preaching, but we think of bondage, we think of being bound. Zane would be his legs, his hands, whatever. He has no control. He's bound by that thing. That's bondage. You can't get away from whatever's holding you, whatever's constricting you. Again, I have a weird mind. So as I was thinking of this, it reminded me of constipation. And a lot of times we can't picture somebody, especially in America, being bound, and you know, we don't see that a lot around here other than criminals. But I think about constipation, what's it bring you? It brings you a lot of pain. Okay? Maybe I'm the only one. But when I'm having constipation, I'm in pain. I don't want to move. I don't want to be bothered. It's got such a grip on me, I can't think of anything else other than that pain. That's what not knowing God is like.
Come on, good.
You can't think of anything else but that pain. And that pain, if you're not saved, is sin. That sin has control of your life. Satan has control of you. You're bound. You're constipated, okay? You can't think of anything else but that pain. It just controls you. That's what sin is in your life. It has you so constricted that you cannot think, you cannot function, you cannot live your life and enjoy it. The opposite of that is having salvation, where all that is taken away. Your sin is released. You have complete and utter freedom, and pain is gone. So the next time you're sitting on the toilet, I want you to question, as you're saying, oh God, help me through this, is God listening? Because without God first in your life, he's probably not going to listen to you.
I wonder why.
So God will give us relief from our bondage with salvation. We just need the proper order. God, then whatever. Your family, your mate, your kids, whatever. You've got to have it in the proper order. But Mr. Ford, this is all in the Old Testament, okay? Our last verse, go to Matthew. And I'm sure you all know where we're going. Matthew, 22:37. Matthew 22:37. We'll actually start in 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. What's the common word in those three last? All. It's not a little bit. It's not some of it. It's all. It's a very easy word to understand. I looked it up in the Greek and it says, I don't speak Greek. It's all. It's all. That's all. All your heart, soul, and mind. Who can, and I'm not asking for anybody to raise a hand, but as you're sitting here today, I want you to think, how did I do this week? Did I love God with all my heart? All my soul?
Yes, sir. Put it out there, brother. Helps.
I can tell you, he didn't have first place all week long. Again, to my shame. When I started putting this message together, he slammed me on this hard. And I don't know if it's possible because he created us. But you think about, you got to be a really righteous person to have that completely in line. But he doesn't say he doesn't love you if you can't do that. But he tells you what he wants out of you, what he wants out of you, what he expects out of you. Doesn't say you have that because you fail one day or 2 days, it's done. You lost, not coming back. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How are we doing with this? Again, all is all. Verse 39, if you're hitting the mark with this one, and that was love thy neighbor as thyself, you probably got the 10 covered. You're probably doing a pretty good job with the 10 commandments. Again, I'm not there. I can't tell you that I'm doing a really good job. I was watching, I'm a people watcher. I go to malls, my wife goes to the shop, I go to watch people. And see what little clothes they're wearing, or when might be the last time they took a shower. And I've seen a couple different preachers up here giving messages, and I've noticed things they do for get the point. And I've seen, as they say the word, they kick the pulpit, or they smack the pulpit, or they kick, or they do. So what I want to get across to you is coming, but I want you to know this is the whole meat and potatoes of the thing. So if I gotta spin around, stomp my feet, clap my hands, if I gotta do the sprinkler and all the other stuff, just remember verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. If we even try to do that, we're doing good, okay? There's a lot of people who don't even give it the effort. They just, whatever. I come to church. I pay tithes. I volunteer to clean a church, or I do this, or I do that. That's not all. God says, I want all. All thy soul, all thy heart, all thy mind. If you feel that you're all good, your all is good, maybe you should check with God. Check the top 10 list and see where your all is. Compare it to that Exodus 20. Don't let it just be a billboard. Don't let it just be a plaque in a church. Let it be something you judge your life by, where you're falling in, where you're falling out with God. Try to compare it, see how you're doing. With that, Mr. Maury, if you would.
Amen, brother. That's good. Mm-hmm. You're now not white, black.
Yeah.
That was good, though.
I'm just going to say this real quick, and then we're going to sing 188. While you're turning there, Psalm 188, if you could turn there, please.